Yo.
What's up, folks? Welcome to the Lions Collective. I almost said our old podcast name there, Will, for a second. I am Justin Rogers of the Detroit Football Network. Joining me is Colton Pouncey of The Athletic, also best Belle Div DeBow cover band this side of the Mississippi. We got failed Swedish hockey prospect and current 97-1, the ticket writer, Will Birchfield.
Live Bro, everyone America. Knows I'm all Swedish, no Finnish, and that holds true in beer league, as Colton can probably attest.
I've seen this man play hockey. He's the best in his league. That's for sure. Yeah. No, not
better than Lions own Eamon Reynolds.
Yeah, that was gonna be my other name I dropped. And on suspension, Jeff Iafredi. Look, man, we started 15 minutes late last week. Unacceptable. We do not accept T-Mobile issues as a viable excuse. So we've suspended Jeff for a week. I think it's fair. You guys good with that? Is 1 week enough?
I think 1 week is perfect.
Yeah, I think that's suitable. I think we should also maybe ask the comments for their recommendations on level of fine, which we can get to at the end of the show.
Oh, man, so I'm running things today. I got to figure out where these comments are today in this new backstage setup. But, you know, we'll try to keep tabs on those. All right, so Will and Colton and I were talking this week, and joint practice with the Texans isn't till tomorrow. Not a ton to preview there. And so, instead of, you know, recycling some of maybe the same storylines as last week, we're going to dip into, the roster decisions. The Lions got to trim down this roster here to 53 next Tuesday, 4 PM. You know, I think we've all been tinkering. A couple of us have published roster projections. So we're going to try to go through it as a group. And so within that, I just want to take the locks right off the table, gentlemen. Yeah. I mean, why waste time on that discussion? We don't need to talk about whether Jared Goff is on this roster. And if at any point you disagree with any of these locks, certainly let me know. I think the running back room is set. I think it's the four guys we've thought it is all along in Montgomery, Gibbs, Vaki, and Reynolds. Wide receiver, maybe our first mild controversy. I think the locks are St. Brown, J-Mo, Tesla, and Raymond. You'll see a noticeable absence there.
There's an omission, yeah.
And look, it's probably not a conversation, but we'll have it anyway. I don't have a tight end down as a lock. Again, more debate for later. Offensive line, I think it's your five starters and Manu. Probably Dan Skipper, probably, but we'll leave him in the 95% category if we need to have that conversation later. Defensive line, you got D tackles, DJ Reader, Tyreek Williams, edge. You got Hutchinson, Davenport, Muhammad. I don't really know what we're gonna do with Hossein. We can come back to that later. My speculation is he probably ends up on IR to start the year, but
certainly,
you know, we'll see where that goes. Linebackers, three starters, and Grant Stewart, I think, are the locks. Cornerback, it's the starter. It's Arnold. It's Reed. It's Meek. You know, if you want to get into near lock conversations, you want to call them locks, we can with Rocky Sin and Avante Maddox. I think they're probably lock, but you know, again, safety Branch and Kirby and the specialist. And so I don't know where that puts us. We'll figure that out later. We'll tabulate them as we go. But I think we need to get right into the popular controversy of the offseason, and that is the backup quarterback. And look, I didn't put Kyle Allen as a lock. I probably, after the second preseason game in a row of a near perfect pass rating, maybe that's the direction it should be going.
Yeah, I mean, Kyle's looked great, man. I think Justin and I were sitting together at the game, and we realized the stats from the last, two games, and it was something ridiculous, a ridiculous completion percentage, like four touchdown passes, zero picks, like 244 yards. So he's been incredible, and I think that's, you know, as close to a lock as you can say at this point, just based on, you know, they like guys that know the offense. If they bring in someone else from another team, that would take some time to get that player up to speed. And Kyle has really shown them no reason not to go with him at this point, not to have him on the roster. So close to a lock as possible, but I understand why he's not in that lock category, because I think Justin and we decided to kind of keep that for the true key.
Yeah,
you know, the St. Browns
like the starters in week one.
Exactly. But it's certainly, he's inching closer to that, and you know, he's done nothing to kind of, you know, change our opinion there.
Yeah, I think the easiest way to describe his chances of making the roster are to consider what kind of catastrophic collapse it would take for them to pivot Allen to QB3 and what kind of meteoric rise it would take for Allen to launch him and become QB2. Allen has been perfect in a lot of ways as QB2 throughout training camp. The dilemma for the Lions is that they're seeing in Hooker, and we've talked about this, guys, a pretty good quarterback at practice. Like, he made a lot happen in Tuesday scrimmage, for example, including a touchdown against the first team defense on a drive that did start in the red zone, to be fair. But then they see a different version of this quarterback in games who looks either overwhelmed or I don't want to say unprepared, but like ill-equipped to handle the heat that he encounters. But like, I'll take you back to Tuesday in a scrimmage that started pretty slowly for the offense. Their first positive drive was led by Hendon Hooker, capped off with like a perfect throw where he kind of sidestepped the pass rusher and delivered this like 20 yard dart in stride to Tesla just past a DB's arm. And then later in the red zone, he leads a drive with the second team offense against mostly the first team defense. And he caps off with a strike on a slant to, I think, Keeney James with Amik Robinson in coverage. And you're like, oh, yeah, this is exactly why they drafted him in the third round 2 years ago. And then you see it again when he uses his legs. And it's also why I have trouble doubting the fact that if they cut him, he wouldn't be picked up by another team. Look, the Lions, wrong or right, put a ton of stock into what they see on the practice field in a setting that is probably as competitive as any training camp in the NFL. And they also put a lot of stock, wrong or right, into third round picks from 2 years ago. And, you know, where they can cut Broderick Martin and comfortably assume that no one's going to claim him, I think that they would lose Hendon Hooker. And, dude, honestly, maybe that's for the best. Like, maybe they'll be freed from agonizing over what he can or can't be. I just don't see them cutting ties with him a year after what's essentially his rookie season, given the actual growth that we've seen and that, more importantly, they've seen in practice. For the record, I would. I would cut Hendon Hooker, because I don't think a roster that is built to win right now this season should be prioritizing a spot for a developmental QB3 when it might cost you a player with a greater chance to contribute this season. But I'm not the one making the calls. That's a good thing. But that's just my take on it.
Will's already cut a guy. That's good. And he jumped a defensive tackle. So he's cut two guys,
I think. What I would do, I think he'll be on the roster. I want to be clear about that. I just, for my own two cents, would not keep him.
Oh, I guess that's maybe a conversation we should have had before we did this. We're doing the projection of what we want or what we think should happen or what the Lions will do, Will.
I think the more sensible conversation for the audience is what we think the Lions will do, like what we think this roster looks like next Tuesday, because who really gives a shit what we think it should be? It's what the Lions think it should be.
So the conversation obviously is, I think we're all giving three thumbs up to the Allen situation. Now, this is not whatever year they cut down to one quarterback, because Tim Boyle and David Blau were so bad that they just had to start from scratch before week one. Like, Allen is the answer they were looking for. So it boils down to what are we doing here at QB3? And so I made a roster projection Sunday, which has already been thrown in the garbage because didn't count on Khalil Dorsey returning to practice. Certainly didn't count on Mekhi Wingo returning to practice. And so now I've got to find room for two more bodies, and didn't have maybe the flexibility ahead originally. But are the Lions going to keep Hendon Hooker? And I think we look at Brad Holmes's history here. Yeah. The leash that he gives his guys, particularly his draft picks, you know, outside of James Houston, you know, it feels like all those guys get a longer leash than maybe we would be willing to give them. And, you know, Will brought up a very good point and one that I think we've all made repeatedly throughout this offseason. Hendon Hooker is a better quarterback on the practice field. And I don't think it's particularly close. I think he has improved in so many ways in terms of processing, in terms of accuracy, in terms of read, in terms of schematic understanding. You know, he very much looks like a viable backup with very low end starter potential on the practice field. And in the games, he looks like me trying to play Madden after not playing for 6 years on all pro mode. like when I played Rostin in an airport somewhere and he picked me off 6 times, you know,
that's a career low light, dog.
These kids are good. These guys good. Online, man. These kids are good.
Yeah. No, this is, Mike Rostin's not one of those kids online, but he wrecked me in an airport somewhere. I don't know where they had video games in the airport, but it happened. And I can admit that, but
I'm proud of you. Proud of you for coming clean.
I don't know where we're going to get at the end, and we're going to have to make adjustments to this roster. But I think Hendon is going to make it because of Brad's, desire to see his picks work out.
Yeah, when I think about it, I think about how the Lions were the team that proposed the emergency quarterback rule, mm-hmm. and they remember a couple years ago what happened with the 49ers. And like to some extent, you can think about it, and it's like if Jared Goff goes down for an extended period of time, they might be in trouble, especially if it's the playoffs at that point. So your Super Bowl hopes are probably dashed if it comes to that. But I think if you're asking about, guys that can keep them afloat, I think Kyle would be your backup just because what he's shown in these preseason games with the efficiency of the offense, being able to move the ball, lead touchdown drives, that's everything you really want out of a QB2 and just a guy that can come in as a spot starter. But just knowing that they kind of value this third quarterback so much and that they've invested in Hendon and he has gotten better in practice and he's making some of the adjustments they want to see last offseason, I think you can afford to keep him around. You might have to part ways with a player that, probably deserved a roster spot. But at the same time, like, I think we tend to overvalue some of these guys too. And it's like, I don't know if that guy that they, cut because of Hendon is going to get claimed by another team. We don't know that. He could just, come back on the practice squad and you're developing him behind the scenes. So I don't know if it has to work out that way where you're losing a guy necessarily. But I do think I look at the investment that they made in Hendon and I know how Brad kind of values his picks, as Justin said. And I really struggle to find a way to cut that guy. And, like Will said, it's just essentially year two.
That's a good point. Yeah.
They knew he was going to be out his rookie year with the ACL, and last year was sort of a year of development. I know a lot of people kind of soured when they brought in Teddy Bridgewater, but they always talk about it. It's like, hey, we needed a guy to come in for the playoffs. Hendon had never experienced that before. So, has Kyle been better? Absolutely. Do I think they're giving up on Hendon? I can't say that yet. I think they're going to give him every opportunity to earn a spot in this roster. We'll see what he does in the final preseason game here. He's got a chance to kind of solidify things, but he does have to be better. And I think we can all agree on that.
So we're going 3 thumbs up. Hendon's on this team next Wednesday.
Yeah, I think we're going 3 thumbs up, assuming that he's at least representative in his performance tomorrow and then on Saturday when he's expected to play a lot. I mean, at some point, if he continues to just lay eggs in these preseason games, they would be forced into making an uncomfortable decision, mostly because at that point you would probably feel comfortable that other teams wouldn't claim him. But yes.
Not enthusiastic, clearly. It's more like a 15 degree. All right. We're skipping running backs. I don't think we need to entertain the Nolan Bianchi conversation that Craig Reynolds is on any
Shout
kind of
out
level.
Nolan,
and maybe that's no longer true, but he certainly said it, so we're gonna let people know. You guys have nothing to add in the running back room, right? Like Vaki's looked really good. He seems like he's past the hamstring. I think we can transition right into the receivers, which I think is one of the most fascinating discussions. And so in the locks, the conversation that I want to have, and maybe it's a really quick one, guys, but I've gone from Tim Patrick 100% lock to probably somewhere in the ballpark of 85 to 90%. And it's only because Tesla's look so good. But what doesn't drop that percentage further for me is Tesla hasn't looked as good when he's put in those situations where he's had to face a starting caliber corner. He got locked up by Terrion Arnold the other day. The pass you were talking about, Will, that Hooker just threaded in there was against Tyson Russell. I mean, it's not like he's absolutely dominating every single day on practice. He's ahead of the curve, but I still think Tim Patrick, brings value to this roster.
Yeah, I agree. And if it had dipped for me to the range that you're referencing, like that 85 to 90%, I almost feel like watching him in the two practices this week restored it to like 95, 100. It felt like he's had a couple days the Lions were waiting for him to have. He made an incredible catch in the end zone on Monday. And then, to be fair, also later couldn't come down with a similar fade ball. But those are the kind of red zone, in the air, contested catches that they want to see Tim Patrick make for this offense. And then on Tuesday comes back and I thought played pretty well again, including closing practice with a touchdown, albeit with the second team offense. But again, getting free in the back of the end zone on a fourth and goal from like the 8 or 9 and just being that big physical target that the Lions signed him to be last year, that he was last year, and that I still think they envision him being this year. And I just think there's so much built-in trust and reliability, not just from the coaching staff to Tim Patrick, but from Jared Goff to Tim Patrick. And I think that Goff's perspective here matters maybe as much as anyone's. Not that they're like consulting his advice on the roster, but they know how he feels about each of his receivers. And I think the comfort and rapport that those two have established only elevates Patrick's already really high chances to make the team.
Yeah, when you talk about Tim Patrick's training camp, it's kind of been a roller coaster just because, early on, he maybe looked a step slow, and maybe the physicality.
He said he was a step slow.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe the physicality of how hard the Lions go in practice was kind of wearing on him. Because remember, he was not around for training camp last year. He was a late addition to the roster. And so he even admitted, I'm not used to this, I got to catch up to speed. And I'm sure a lot of guys coming from outside the organization would probably agree. Like this, it's a different level. Maybe not Grant Stewart. He's kind of built for this sort of practice environment. Yeah. But a guy like Tim Patrick, I understand. He's north of 30. He's had some injuries. When I think it was the first or second day of pads, Brian Branch is like tackling him, maybe that might have been when they're still in shorts, honestly.
Yeah.
It's kind of a rough go early on, and then he missed some time. And I don't know if that was just some veteran rest mixed in with, the injury, but, he's back out there and he's looking like the Tim Patrick a bit of old. I do think like some of the Tassaw hype has kind of gone off the rails a little bit. He's getting asked to do interviews every single day by us and he's making plays in these preseason games. He looks great. But as Justin mentioned, it's all come against second string and third string competition. And so you would like to see him get more of those opportunities with the first team to really solidify that spot. And I don't think we're quite there yet. And when I watched him out there and you see him out there with the second team offense sometimes, to me, that's just, hey, you're not getting the ball all the time when we're running with the ones. Like Jared's looking at Saints, looking at JMO, he's looking at LaPorta when he's out there, Gibbs. So they're trying to get those guys some work. So to me, when they put Tim out there with the second string guys, it's like, okay, this is your opportunity to shine, make some plays for us, just get into a rhythm so you can feel like you're part of this. And, that was sort of what we saw in that scrimmage. He was making plays, he was catching passes that came his way. And that to me shows that's still in there. Maybe they're just taking it easy with him right now. So I understand maybe some of the concern out there, maybe some of the thoughts like, hey, are we sure this guy is a lock? And certainly that's a conversation worth having, but just knowing what he gives them, you're really only expecting like 300 yards from this guy because he's the fifth option in this offense. I think he can still bring that to you and give it to you at age 30, 31 at this point in his career. So I'm not expecting him to be a 1,000-yard receiver. I think he can go out there and produce when called upon, and that's kind of the role I see for him.
Classic Toy Story, by the way. This is Woody and Buzz all over again. You guys are all about the Buzz. Woody Tim Patrick is falling behind the bed, forgotten forever.
Bro, the clearest sign that the Tesla hype and Buzz has flown, careened off the rails is that Wojo wrote a column him after the second preseason game. And I don't even think he knew who he was after the second night of the draft. One more note on Tim Patrick. He has said it himself.
Yeah.
He knows, like, I'm basically the fourth or fifth option in this offense, which means all I need to be able to do is beat what? Like the number 4 or 5 corner or DB? I should win that matchup every single time. And I think just given his stature, you should feel pretty good about him being able to do that.
I think we're going to end up going 2 hours on this podcast at this rate, Jen. We just spent like 13 minutes on Tim Patrick. It's good. It's great. Look, now the conversation gets interesting. So we've got five. I don't know if I called Khalif Raymond a lock, but he's a lock.
He's a lock, yeah.
He's a return man. He's Mr. Culture for this organization, and he costs like pennies on the dollar, relatively speaking. But we got two young receivers. We got seventh rounder Dominic Lovett. We got undrafted free agent Jaxon Meeks, who you know, I've been intrigued by since they signed him. He has exceeded all expectations, I think, reasonably. He makes practice plays regularly. The last two preseason games, something like 10 catches, 170 yards, two touchdowns. Absolutely balling. I don't know if that's a guy. I know we talked about, or Colton brought it up earlier. Like, we get enamored by the guys we're seeing every day and thinking there's no way they clear waivers. I don't know if he actually clears waivers because of the preseason tape, right? That's really good tape he's put out there, doing a lot of different things, including blocking and some special teams. So let's kind of have this discussion jointly. I don't know if it's one or the other. I don't know if you can be similar to one of seven teams last year that carried seven receivers on their individual roster, or on their initial 53-man roster. When I made the thing Sunday, and again, a little bit different math, but I went with seven because I think Lovett is part of their plans. And honestly, I think you can make a case that Meeks could be part of your plans in the future too, with Patrick kind of aging out after this season.
I did a roster projection earlier this
week. I like it.
I went the opposite direction, and this is good because we agree too much on the show. I went with five, and the reason
they're both out for Colton.
I'm willing to hear six. I'm willing to hear six, and I think if I had to do it again, I'd probably add a six after hearing Dave Phipp talk about special teams and those guys. But the reason I go with five, and I would try to add elsewhere, but the reason I went with five is because I think about last year's wide receiver competition and like the search for wide receiver three that ended up with Tim Patrick outside the organization. Isaiah Williams made the roster and they never really used him. Like, he was maybe active week one and then maybe got hurt and then was inactive on game days and then they waived him. And to me, it's like, I don't know if they really value that extra spot. You know, even, and that was last year when they really needed help at receiver, and the room's stronger this year. And I look at some of those guys and I'm like, I think a player like Lovett in particular, you know, those guys are a dime a dozen. You can kind of find them every year in the draft. Like, there's a reason he's a seventh round pick. You can find these guys undrafted, just sort of the short slot, quick guys that aren't fast. I think you can find those every year. And I understand there's like, okay, he's got some upside in the return game. You know, he looks good and quick in practice, but how often are you going to play that guy, you know, unless he's just killing it on special teams? And I think that's really where the area where he needs to grow. And we didn't see much of him. He missed, what, 10 days of practice there. So, like, that was a little bump in the road for him. And Meeks, yeah, he's come on really strong in the preseason. I think that's important. I would say a lot of his catches in that second game came at the final drive and garbage time when they're trying to, you know, work their way back.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of that production came there. But I think Justin has a point where, like, teams outside the organization, they're maybe just looking at the preseason tape they're putting out instead of what we see in practice. So, yeah, he's a nice player. And it depends which one you want. Like, Meeks is a bit bigger. He's got really good hands. Maybe that helps you get Zadarius back because that's his nephew. versus Lovett is sort of the quicker guy. Maybe he can be a Khalif replacement down the road, although I think they still like Khalif a lot, obviously. So that's the conversation for me. I think you can get away with keeping at least one of those guys on the practice squad, though. I don't know. Maybe Meeks is the one that goes somewhere else. You can keep Lovett and have him develop there. And if you need him, you can call him up. And then the other thing I would add, just, I know we're getting kind of long on this, Tom Kennedy is still around, and like, we've seen him get first team reps when guys are out, and like, if it came to it, they might just turn to him for a game if they need some help. So that's a long-winded wide receiver conversation.
That felt like a favor for somebody. I don't know, man. I don't know.
You think I'm a Tom Kennedy stan? I don't know.
Yo, I think Meeks could have done himself a solid by making a pretty easy special teams tackle in that game last Saturday when he was a gunner, I think, on one of the first two punts of the game. And he had the return man pretty dead to rights, like near the 19 or 20 yard line. And he just kind of stopped his feet and then stutter stepped, and return man kind of blew by him. And it was sort of a clumsy tackle attempt. And obviously those plays go a long way when you're trying to carve your way onto the roster and show your special teams value. But I'm leaning toward this team keeping Jackson Meeks. I think he's made a really strong statement to this coaching staff, both in practice and in preseason games, that he's trustworthy and that they can put some faith in him to execute whatever job they assign him. And I feel like this coaching staff talks about that as much as like making plays when the ball comes to you. It's, are you doing everything else that helps an offense operate smoothly? And it feels like every time you look up, he's doing the things that they ask their receivers to do, like knowing his splits, being sharp with his details, like that little rub route he ran against the Falcons to free up Tesla for his first touchdown. The blocking in the run game has been really solid. And then look, like when the ball has come his way, he's more often than not come down with it. And he'll be the first to tell you that he led the country last season among Power Five players in contested catches. And that's no small feat. It's also no surprise, really, when you look at his profile. Like, he almost cuts the frame of a tight end sometimes. He's a big target with really strong hands. And when he talked with the Lions director of scouting, who's Dwayne Joseph, during the pre-draft process, those two just hit it off. Like, Dwayne Joseph was emphasizing their principles, like toughness and physicality and grit. And I only kind of chuckle because we hear it so much, but it really resonated with Meeks, and it's why he chose to sign here. And it feels like he's embodied all of those attributes since he showed up. And we were talking a couple of days ago, and I was asking him about some of the wide receivers that he's tried to model himself after, or guys that he watches, and he listed Anquan Boldin, Stevie Johnson, Keenan Allen, AJ Brown, Devontae Adams, and Michael Crabtree. He said he actually watches like a half hour of Keenan Allen film every week. You know, these guys that have kind of similar body types to him. And he's not watching, you know, what he does at the catch point. He's watching like the tempo in his routes and how fast he gets in and out of his breaks. He said something to me that was pretty interesting. Like, he's like, if you watch Keenan Allen, he's never run a route at full speed. Now, I dare him to tell Keenan Allen that, but he's like, he's never run a route at full speed. He's just all about being controlled through the route and playing with low pad level. And, you know, these are elements that he's displaying himself and that he's continuing to sharpen. And I agree, like the public stock in Meeks has to be climbing pretty quickly, given what he's shown to the NFL audience in these preseason games. And again, we're getting long-winded here, but I'll to maybe counter Colton your point against Isaiah Williams, which is well taken. I think part of the reason that didn't work out is because he was so redundant to what they already had in the receivers room last year. And that was the dilemma they were trying to solve as to whether or not they would keep him or cut him. And there was just like really never a path behind St. Brown and behind Khalif Raymond for Isaiah Williams to make an impact. But I feel like there might be one for Jackson Meeks, if not this year, then certainly next year, given the frame, given the way he contrasts to St. Brown, to J-Mo, given the fact that Patrick is aging. And I wonder if they'd be willing to ride it out with him for a season where he might not do much, knowing that he could be not an instrumental, but a contributing piece in this offense down the line.
All right, guys, we got to vote on these guys. And I'm with Will here. I think size matters. I think it's more difficult to find the big bodied receiver. And so I see you, Colton.
You said it, not me.
Yeah. We'll do love it first here.
Can we hit pause on YouTube?
I don't think we can. Love it, fellas. What are we doing?
No.
Will?
Yeah, I'm not. I can't keep seven. I just can't, in good conscience, keep seven receivers. But I do want to keep Meek. So I just, by the math, I'll have to let Love it go and hope that they can keep him around the practice squad.
Well, that is the way we are going, because I'm siding with Will on this one. So we got six receivers, seven. Okay, everybody's voting for six receivers with
I thought we were embracing debate. What happened to disagreement?
Yeah, well, no, we
all love
you,
each other.
You swayed us there, I'm telling you. I don't know why I said earlier no tight ends. Obviously, I meant the starters, Laporta.
Yeah, I was like, what?
And
Wright.
Yeah,
it's like, we're Laporta?
What do you know?
I think I knew what you
I was scrambling for a minute. I was going to text him. Like, yo, what does he know?
Yeah. So the debate comes to the third tight end, and it's an interesting one because I think we could probably tie it to receivers. Could they go seven receivers and two tight ends? I'm not ruling that out, because Will said it, Meeks does kind of replicate some of the stuff you get from a tight end. He's not going to line up in line, but in terms of the run blocking stuff, in terms of the special team stuff, I think you could justify it. And I'm not convinced anybody's grabbing Shane Zylstra off waivers, but if it is a three, are we in agreement here that it's Shane Zylstra over the rookie Zach Horton? Because that's the only other contender with Yeboah down for the year.
Yes. But I would keep Horton on the practice squad if you can, which I think
they'll do. Oh, 100%. He reminds me of a young Brock Wright. He's got that size. He plays with the different blocking alignments, whether that's the backfield, the H-back, the I-back, attached to the line of scrimmage. And I would say he's been adequate. I mean, you see promise in that role there. So give him a year in a strength program, a little bit more time to work on his technique. I could see Horton being a guy that's just randomly around for 2, 3, 4 years that, we just, forget we had the conversation here in, August 2025.
And then lands an offer sheet from the 49ers in 2 years. And the Lions are forced to pay him major money. One thing I'll say about Zylstra, for any fans who haven't been out to camp, you'd be surprised how often Jared Goff looks his way when he's facing like key third downs and situational periods or just in general 11-on-11. There's a comfort level there. And he obviously gets forgotten about when there's all this other talent on the field. But I just think that he's a guy that has a knack for getting open at key times, and Jared often looks his way.
He had like two catches really quickly. He had two catches in one-on-ones yesterday. I'm losing track of all the days. First against Anzalone, second against Lauren Strickland, the safety. Both times it was like the ability to separate at the top of the route. You could see the college receiver in him. Mm-hmm. Certainly his strength, but I think Zelser's actually quietly improved as a blocker as well. For me, he's an in.
Yeah, I'll say the same. To me, it feels like he's working his way into that Dan Skipper, Craig Reynolds, sort of like guys that are always around and you kind of expect them to be here. He's training camp. Now, whether he makes the roster or not kind of depends on numbers elsewhere. But in terms of that tight end position right now, they signed Kenny Yeboah. He's injured right now, so that's kind of a tough break for him. But Zylstra has earned a spot, I think. He's been out there all training camp. As we mentioned, Goff looks his way. He gets those first-team reps. He's out there blocking, doing what they ask of him, and he knows the offense. So, to me, he's in.
All right, let's move to the offensive line. Like I said, we got the five in. Manu's not going anywhere. They're going to continue that development. Do you want to just call Skipper in?
Should we
just agree there? He's been the number one backup offensive tackle when healthy all camp. Backup guard, I think Coyote's kind of solidified that spot. Are we good with that one as well, Will?
Yeah, I'm good there.
Yep.
All right, so we are up now to eight. And the question becomes, where do we go from there? And I'm going to open the discussion. We'll treat it like an auction fantasy draft. I'm going to open it with Kingsley Aguakin. Been taking the starts at center with Graham Glasgow not playing in the preseason. I wouldn't say it's perfect by any means. Dan Campbell kind of captured my criticism of Aguakin's skill set and just the inability to anchor. We see him get bull rushed at times, but in terms of athletic profile, he's got athleticism that's actually on par with Frank Ragnow. He's an extraordinarily athletic center, and I think they've challenged him this year. I think he's taken a step forward, and right now I look at him as the probably the leading contender to be a backup center, certainly since Cologne suffered the elbow injury in their second week of preseason.
My question is this: do you think if Graham goes down, who is like the immediate center? Do you think they just slide Tate over, or do you think they would, if they roster Kingsley, they would put him out there and keep Tate at right guard?
I think it's Kingsley or whoever they keep right now. And the reason I say that is when's the last time we saw Ratledge take a back or take a center snap? I mean, it just has been weeks. And I kind of picked up some buzz that, you know, Goff wasn't particularly comfortable with the rookie. Mm-hmm. And that's not unusual. I think you want your quarterback center relationship to be right. And that's not my quote. That's John Morton saying that. And I think that was reflective of kind of what I was hearing, that Goff just wasn't quite comfortable with Ratledge. Not saying that he would be super comfortable with Kingsley as well, but at least, you know, that's a guy that played center through his entire college career. I think that's probably the play. Keep Ratledge in one spot, let him be comfortable there. Let him dominate there and let him, I guess, you know, really play out his full rookie season in one spot. Don't mess around with what's working.
Yeah. This coaching staff also seems pretty enamored with Kingsley's intelligence, and that obviously matters a great deal at center. And I don't know, in some ways he reminds me a little bit of Evan Brown, who this coaching staff once had a lot of faith in, as someone who might be a little bit on the lighter side for the position, but has some of the quickness to make up for that. And then also has the IQ to overcome that. And I remember how satisfied they were with Evan Brown's play when he was the starting center, was it 21 or 2 when Ragnow missed most of the year. And he stepped in there rather seamlessly, mostly because he had like the mental wherewithal to help Jared Goff operate the offense. And I feel like they see some similarities between he and Kingsley, at least I do. And I think even if they don't see them, that would be a reason to keep him around, because they obviously feel pretty confident that he's not going to be overwhelmed if he's put into a situation where he has to play this season.
Yeah. What if I told you Evan Brown was also a great athlete? I think that comp is really good, Will.
Yep, I agree. The reason I brought up whether Tate would be the center if Graham goes down or not is because it's to me, I think it was Campbell recently that might have said they want to get Tate some more work there. Just kind of
almost like he had forgotten they did that at the start of camp. Right? I think it was Ben Raven who asked the question, and Dan was like, Oh yeah, we'll probably get him back there soon. Yeah, that was something we were doing. Yeah.
But to me, when I watch that, it's like I understand the want to get Tate, especially if you know, hey, Jared likes Graham. Graham said it himself. I thought he said it perfectly. It's like, if you're going to have me help the rookie anyway and just play guard and have to also make calls at the line, just put me at center.
Yeah.
So I think sort of some of that probably played into as well, maybe Jared, as Justin mentioned. But, you know, part of me wonders, like, okay, let's just get Tate ready for season. We know he's going to play right guard. But in a pinch, would they move him over? Would they call up Kingsley? That's where I'm kind of confused. I really don't know, just because they haven't been presented with that yet.
Yeah.
But I do like Kingsley. I think coming out of the draft, coming out of Florida, our guy at the Athletic, Dane Brugler, does a great job. I think he gave Kingsley a fifth or sixth round grade coming out. Lions got him as a UDFA, super athletic, really intelligent guy. And they've been developing him for an opportunity like this. So at this point, the other thing that I would want to say is like the ability to kind of switch over at guard, and they've been, you know, giving him some looks there as well.
Yep.
That tells me that they're working to see what he can do and see if they can maximize his value to the roster if he were to be on there. So, I mean, the stars are kind of aligning for it to happen. It's just a matter of preference, but he looks pretty good in my opinion.
So let me speed up the discussion here. That's 9 offensive linemen. Mm-hmm. There are a few others in that mix. There's Moody, the veteran guard. There's Jamarco Jones, the offensive tackle, who's honestly been repping ahead of Manu many weeks, most weeks. There's one of 7 gunners that they've signed in the last couple weeks, ER, AR, I'm not sure, but are there any other offensive linemen that you are compelled to make a case for to make it 10, or are you just going to see what gets through the practice squad and work from there?
No, I'm good at 9. I do want to shout out Moody though, for his block last week on the touchdown throw to, it was the Tesla, right? The Tesla touchdown, where he took care of his man and then saw the left tackle getting beat and came over and just cleaned someone's clock right as he was about to sack Allen. So just shout out Moody for that, because you know he got shouted out by the coaching staff, probably in front of the entire team the next day watching film.
Yeah.
I got to tell you guys, we're at 25 through the offense. I mean, I don't know. This has turned out to be a perfect podcast. What can we say?
So let's you hear that, Jeff? Perfect podcast.
Perfect podcast. Suspension stays on indefinite now. Flipping over to the defense, you know, let's just go to the other trenches. Let's start with the edge. And, you know, Hutchinson, Davenport, your starters. Muhammad, very, very clearly the number three. And I know we talked about in the intro there, but Hassanin, out with a pec injury. He put something on social media. I think he deleted it. I think somebody probably told him to delete it, but said no surgery, only time rehab. But I think still they've got two spots they can use for IR, right? That's the rule we want to make sure the audience knows about, that on cut down day, they can put up to two guys on IR, not counting toward the 53-man roster. And I think, you know, that'll knock you out for minimum of four games, but I think it's probably a likely landing spot right now for Hassanin. You guys on the same page there?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so they're going to have a fourth edge rusher, maybe five, you know, and clearly there's the Za'Darius Smith conversation to be had. Again, we had it last week. I think it's still floating out there, right? Let's just leave the door open as a if P then Q statement, right? Like,
yeah.
If Za'Darius Smith and them can come to an agreement, yeah, it probably makes a lot of sense to bring him back for that spot. If not, you've got three young guys that have kind of been competing for that job, if it's available, in Nate Lynn, Isaac Ukwu, and Mitchell Goudé. And so, you know, I'm just going to open it up, you know, which of those three, if you got to put one on the roster, if you want to make a case for two, then by God, do it. But who's the leader in the clubhouse for you, Colton?
I think Nate Lynn. I really like what I've seen from him, really, all training camp. And he was a guy that flashed last year, as we talked about. Gets injured, had some momentum, was really unfortunate because he was a guy that was shaping up to maybe make the roster a year ago. You know, he's kind of picked up right where he left off, has impressed me in the first two preseason games, a little quieter the last one. But I think he's performed well, and they're giving him some opportunities. I would like to see him get some more reps. You know, one thing I call it mentally, when you see like the offense and defense, you know, getting together for warmups before practice, you got the JV side and then you got the varsity side. And, you know, one guy we'll talk about, I'm sure, coming up, Keith Cooper. I saw him out there with the varsity side. Nate Lynn, I think he might have been over there too. So like those two guys are kind of working themselves in the mix. And I look at Nate Lynn as a guy that, hey, especially after Hassanin gets hurt, like you hate to see it for him, obviously, but when you're a little short on depth, I think he's probably the next man up, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't want to read too much into like public comments from Brad Holmes, because he's never going to disclose the team's thinking, but it spoke pretty loudly to me when on the broadcast last week, he was asked by TJ Lang about this conversation and which edge rushers, if any, have jumped out to him, and he immediately referenced Nate Lynn. He said, you know, he's had a really good camp. You know, we're really excited about the progress he's made from last year when he was shelved for pretty much the entire season. And he just continues to pop. And I think when you get that kind of endorsement from the GM, you know, about 8 or 9 days from cut day, you got to feel pretty good about where he stands. I will say Ukwu closed the gap with his performance last weekend. And it wasn't just the fact that he had two sacks, although I think one of them ended up getting erased by a flag because there were like 3,000 flags in that game. For me, it was the way he got to those sacks. I think he's done a really good job of rushing off the edge the way this defense prioritizes, especially his first sack when it looked like he might be getting kind of washed out upfield, which is like the major no-no in this defense, and then shifted back inside and got to the quarterback. And I think it was a Goudé who was like mirroring his rush on the other side. And then he shed a block pretty easily for his second sack coming up almost like through the interior. And I just thought that the film that he put out there last Saturday probably is giving the coaching staff a second thought as to whether or not he might be worth keeping around, because clearly that's a guy who has absorbed the coaching and is applying it in real time against opponents other than his own teammates.
I was fully on board with Lynn until this week. You know, I thought Ukwu made it interesting, and I clearly were all ready to be done with Agude. So he's lopped off of this conversation. But
sorry, Mitch.
You know, I like Uku's build for this defense. You know, he's 270 pounds now. He can hold up a little bit better on the edge, run setting wise. You know, that kind of replaces a little bit of what Hassanin was bringing to the table. And I think the pass rush has taken a step forward from where it was last year when he got his little taste of action there right after Hutchinson got hurt.
Yeah.
He's got a really nice long arm move where he gets a hand to the chest of the offensive tackle, and he's got the power to really kind of push them back into the pocket, which again is the style the Lions play, that pocket crushing style opposite Hutchinson. And he showed a little bit of bend there on that second sack, you know, dipping around the offensive tackle. So it's certainly closer than it was, but I want to go back to the point that Colton was making about Kingsley in playing guard, right? And seeing more of what he can do. Have you noticed in practice, it's been kind of subtle, but Nate Lynn's been taking some defensive tackle reps. And
yeah, he is.
It's a weird one because he's only 250, 260. But if I'm correct, I believe he played quite a bit inside at William & Mary, where it makes a little bit more sense because that's the size of the defensive tackles in that conference. But, you know, if you get him on some of those inside reps on third down, if push comes to shove, you know, he's got the speed, the quickness, the natural leverage to give guards trouble. So, I like both those guys. I think, honestly, both of them probably would make it to the practice squad. I can't say that obviously for sure. We don't know what the other 31 GMs are thinking, but if both of them hit the wire, I think Lynn would be claimed first, because I think there's a preference for benders, and he's certainly got more of the ability to bend an edge. So if we're going with one, it's Nate Lynn for me as well, guys.
Bam.
Let's lock him in.
Anybody else want
to? Nate Lynn, you made the team. Yes. I'll let him know right now.
contingent on apparently Zadarius.
Okay. Or Trey Hendrickson. Dude, or Micah Parsons.
Entire season.
Oh, no. We got a Trey Hendrickson.
At this point.
Yeah. We got a Trey Hendrickson in the chat.
Is it actually Trey Hendrickson? Is he logged
in? It is. Yeah.
Just Trey Brian Branch for me. Do it now.
I think it's sarcastic. I'm pretty good at reading my sarcastic messages, but. I don't know. I think Colton had the definitive blow up's not the right word, but I think you shut it all down this offseason, right? I think you finally hit a point with the Crosby Hendrickson talk where you just shut it all down.
Probably. I think I just tweeted enough. Yeah. I was like, I'm done with this.
That's like, not. Dad, yeah. I'll pull this car over now.
Yeah, man. We don't need to do that.
All right. So rolling to the inside. We got Reader. We got Tyleek. I think Pat O'Connor. Probably a lock, right?
They love
Pat. Yeah. Anybody want to challenge Pat O'Connor?
If you need to do some roster math, you could probably, say, hey, we're going to roster you. Let's kind of maneuver a little bit. Maybe you can get away with that with him. But I think he's earned his spot with this play, and they're a little thin there. So that's all I would say.
Roy Lopez, also probably a lock. And they signed him to guaranteed money. I think that usually sums it up. So let's have the Keith Cooper discussion, because I think it's interesting. You mentioned, Will, that he's seeing the sprinkling of reps in with the first team. Really, really similar body type to Josh Pascal. Really similar schematic usage as well, or even maybe more so with the way that we thought they were going to be using Pascal this year, with more of the inside emphasis and the ability to go outside as opposed to the outside emphasis coming inside. Look, I don't think Cooper's done a whole lot in the preseason games. I don't think he particularly splashed in the joint practices, although I didn't watch the defense on day two, so maybe Will can correct me there. But yesterday's practice, two really, really big run stops. We've seen him in the backfield regularly. We've seen him winning one-on-ones against guys like Moody and Coyote. And so I'm leaning in right now. I don't think it's a strong in, but I'm leaning in right now for Keith Cooper.
I'm in on Keith Cooper too. He's really easy to pick out anytime he's on the defensive line, because he's just uncommonly long and then surprisingly quick for his size. And when he got here, he'll tell you, like, I was just lining up and trying to beat the guy in front of me, but a month later, 3 months later, or 2 months later after his rookie minicamp tryout, he says he's processing things better now. He's seeing everything happening in front of him, and then he's being able to narrow down what might happen with the offense on each play. And I think with his athleticism and his length, you know, obviously, as you say, J-Raj, like he can pass rush from the inside. He can also, you know, play run blocks and set edges on the outside. And he's got a pretty good ability to like move laterally without really losing speed. And like we saw this and his processing on Tuesday, I guess that was yesterday, on one particular run stuff. I think it was against Sione Vaki when clearly Cooper diagnosed which direction this play was going to be run ahead of the snap, and then just like broke through and across the face of the line at the same time from left to right and wrapped up Vaki and brought him down immediately. And it was just a really impressive, splashy play for a player that can do a lot of different things. And, you know, I go back to what the Lions told him as soon as he arrived here, again, as a tryout in rookie minicamp. They said, look, we know it's going to be hard, but if you can try to learn these two positions, essentially big end and then like three tech, you'll be a great player for us. And that builds a lot on what he did in college. And I think so far he has risen to that challenge. And I think, again, the versatility and sort of the uncommon build, uncommon quickness for me right now has him on this defensive line.
Yeah. For me, it's like, it's really easy to forget that he was a tryout. Like,
it wasn't one of the UDFAs
assigned. Like that's, I think he might've initially been reported as a like regular UDFA.
But he was.
Yeah. He had to try out, get a spot, and like to work his way to where he is now is nothing short of impressive. And I go back to, you know, Dan Campbell. I don't know if it was you, Justin, or someone else asked him, you know, where do you turn with your interior defensive line depth after, you know, Levi's out. And one of the first names he mentioned, maybe the first, was Keith Cooper.
Yeah.
Now, another
player like practice three, I think.
It was like the third day, right? And another player he mentioned was Raekwon Williams, former Michigan State guy. You know, right. Raekwon was one of the earlier wave players. And Keith Cooper is still here chugging along. And, I mean, again, he's earning those opportunities, earning those looks. He's learning what they're asking him to do. We're seeing him grow in real time. You know, you see him out there getting some first team reps because they need guys out there and they want to test him and see what he can do. Those are all good signs. So that's what I look for in training camp. You're looking for guys that are getting those opportunities that are saying like, hey, how much can we put on your plate? How much can you handle? Because that's going to let us know if we can count on you during the season or not. And they're having those discussions and they're giving him those chances to kind of prove himself or not prove himself. Yeah. I think more often than not in practice, going up against a pretty good offensive line, I think he's flashed. I think he's looked pretty good out there. You would like to see him maybe translate more of the preseason games, but man, it's like every time I look up, 64 is in the backfield making some play like in practice, and that they do like kind of weigh practices a little bit more in the games. So when I look at that, I'm like, you're a little thin at the defensive tackle position. He's got some versatility. He's done everything you've asked of him. He's kind of proved himself along the way. You know, I would have him in right now.
I also agree in. So we're going to put Cooper in. I really quickly, there's three other defensive tackles on this roster I just think worth mentioning, and that's Miles Adams and Chris Smith to start. You know, two guys that I thought that had kind of nondescript starts to camp. Both have come on really, really strong. I don't know where you fit them, but I just want to acknowledge how many plays they're making. Certainly there's spots on the practice squad for both those guys. And then there's Broderick Martin. And look, Broderick Martin was doing nothing, like absolutely nothing, to start camp in a make or break camp for him. He was going against third string offensive linemen and doing zilch. And he's got to these games and, you know, he's popped a few times. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's probably too little too late. I don't know what happens if you put him on waivers, because he's just that type of guy, that the 36 inch arms, the 330 pound frame, the showing I didn't know it was in his toolbox, but a quick first step in these preseason games. I think somebody's going to go, I can fix that guy. I can fix him. I'll take him and I'll make it work. I don't know if he makes it back to the Lions practice squad just because of the unique intangibles he has. But I think it's probably over for him in terms of having a spot on the 53 man.
I think the coaching staff would honestly be fine if he was claimed by
probably
the team and someone else had to figure out how to maximize all of the tantalizing tools that Broderick has, because every time it looks like he's pushing forward, he lines up offside carelessly. And you're like, that, like those kind of plays when you have to be so precise and detailed because you're playing for a spot on this roster and maybe even playing for a spot in the NFL, those kind of mistakes are just inexcusable. And I just think this coaching staff, maybe not this front office, but I think this coaching staff would be okay with the idea of entering this season without Broderick Martin on the larger roster.
Yeah, to me, it's like one thing to look at how he's performing in preseason games. And I think I saw a tweet that like his pass rush win rate is like 26% or something in the preseason, which is kind of
crazy.
Absurd.
Yeah.
limited number of snaps there. But
yeah, it's like six snaps.
Yeah. But the other thing I would say is like what we see in practice and like the rotations out there kind of dictate that a little bit more. And he hasn't really been out there with the starters and even his time with the second
team. Has he been out with the twos?
Sparingly, yeah. Right? So yeah. It's like that tells me more than preseason performance. But he is making a push here. We'll see. But I would have him out as well.
A push he has not made into the pocket since he was drafted. Move to the linebackers. Yeah, here we go. Linebackers. We got Stewart as the one backup that's a lock. I think Nowoski's a lock too. I think he's very clear cut Barnes backup.
They can't bear to lose him again. After losing him once, they're just not going to let that happen twice. They're still scarred by that.
Yeah.
He does a ton on special teams. He's kind of got some intrigue as a blitzer. He seems to have a bit of a knack for it. And another guy that they're clearly moving around a little bit, experimenting on his versatility. So I feel really good about Nowoski. And Zach Cunningham is probably in as well. We talked about it with somebody else, Pat O'Connor, a guy that you can maybe manipulate a little bit and put on the practice squad for a week and not guarantee his salary. And maybe that's the route you go with Malcolm Rodriguez expected to come back some point midseason. Maybe you buy yourself a little salary insurance with Zach Cunningham. But, you know, since the first day of camp where he stepped in for Alex Anzalone, he's shown a really strong affinity for playing the run, if nothing else. He will play special teams, has played special teams. I don't see any reason to keep Zach Cunningham off this roster.
Me neither. I think he's looked great. And I remember the Lions kept, I think, seven linebackers on the initial roster a year ago. So they kind of value the extra spot there. So I would have him in. I think he's looked great.
And I honestly, when I did my projection on Sunday, I hated cutting Zeke Turner. Like I did. Like it's a dude, he had nine tackles in the last preseason game. I think he is one of their best special teams performers. If he was better in coverage, and he should be given he's a former safety and he's kind of got that leaner body type, if he was better in coverage, I think they would find a way to keep him as a sub package guy. But I don't think I can justify squeezing him into the roster right now.
Yeah, the only thing I'll add on Cunningham, I agree, I think he makes this roster, is that in a defense that clearly is placing an emphasis on linebackers making plays and making checks, his experience will serve him really well. And I think Shep would be pretty comfortable in the event of, you know, likely inevitable injury, putting Cunningham into that defense and trusting that he can make the same reads and adjustments that an Anzalone can, or a Jack Campbell can, or a Derek Barnes can. Obviously, physically, he's not quite the player he was, or those guys are now. But there's going to be a lot of freedom, a lot of latitude for these linebackers in this defense. And I think Cunningham's savvy is one reason, on top of how well he's played, for that defensive staff to keep him around. That makes sense.
I think so.
100%. Yep.
I will say, it's funny watching Zach Cunningham. I can't help it. Like, I keep seeing Jamie Collins, and there's something about Cunningham. Like, every once in a while, like, he just, maybe he's such an athlete, like, it looks like he's moving effortlessly, but it just seems like the effort isn't always there. He's got kind of a veteran mindset. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. We did get a trade broken in the chat, by the way, guys.
Bump a ref.
the chat is breaking a trade to us.
Vikings
just traded Harrison Phillips to Aaron Glenn's got a new defensive tackle, guys.
Wait, is that real?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. All right, chat. Hell yeah. Getting the scoops.
NFC just lost one of its better run stuffing defense tackles. I think kind of a thorn in the Lions side too. I don't think they particularly liked Harrison Phillips, but
no. And it felt like between the Bears and the Vikings kind of beefing up on the interior of the defensive line, they might be able to attack what looks like the weakness of this Lions offensive line, at least to start the season. So I think Lions fans should feel pretty good about Harrison Phillips being removed from the picture for the time being.
All right, I'm going to cheat and tell you guys we got room for 10 DBs or nine and throw in somebody else on the roster. We can maybe bring back Dominic Lovett. Who knows?
Yeah, I was about to say.
Maybe could salvage him. Yeah. So Arnold Reed, Amik. The cornerback position is weird because you got these hybrid defenders. I don't really know what to classify them as right now, but
DB.
We'll just create a little slash here. But anybody want to contest that Maddox and Yacinta are on this roster?
No, I'm good.
Nope. They're in.
what position are they to you?
I got you seen as a safety just because he's repping there more. I mean,
it's kind of where it's gone, right?
Maddox is nickel. Yeah.
Yeah.
But if they need a corner, would they throw out Yacine out there? I think.
Yeah.
Maybe. Outside corner at least.
Go back to the auction draft style. I'm gonna put Eric Hallett up next. And you know, I that's a guy I had in both of my roster projections to this point. I think Nick Whiteside gave me pause there for a second. But Hallett's performance in Miami was exceptional. He continued it during Monday and Tuesday's practice. He's been repping with the first team. He's playing nickel. He's playing outside corner. He's playing safety, and he's not catching the ball, which is probably the one fault. But he's making plays at all three positions. Can play special teams. To me, he's been the guy that came out of nowhere for me in this camp. I was not thinking anything about him coming into camp, and right now I'm putting him in.
I would agree there. I think the versatility that he shows is really like his superpower right now. The ability to play all over the field. That last preseason performance really kind of opened my eyes a little bit. I wish he would have caught that loft by Zach Wilson. I don't know how he didn't catch it. I guess that's why he plays DB. But in terms of everything else you want to see, he's been making plays. He knows the defense. He's been around here for a little bit. So I would have him in just based on some of the injuries they've had. Obviously, you wish Ennis was out there. He's not. You know, they're missing some guys, but I would put them in as a result.
Shout out Missouri.
MIZ.
Playing your favorites, dude.
Play the hits.
there any other quarterbacks you want to make a case for? I feel like of all the, and they're all newcomers at this point. They're all DJ Miller, Luke Barkou, Alan George.
Tyson
Rummel's been here a while.
Alan George had a great pass breakup on Amon-Ra in a red zone period.
No. That was DJ Miller, I believe.
Oh, was it DJ Miller?
Yeah.
The sideline yeah, play.
Still crazy.
Was that DJ? He got his hand like between Amon's hands and knocked it free.
I think he's the only DB to break up an out route to Amon-Ra St. Brown in the last 2 years.
Yeah, so he's got that going for him, which is nice. But don't think that's quite enough to crack the roster. It's hard to cut a guy in Nick Whiteside, who his own coach nicknamed after a battleship. Again, don't think he has closed the gap but as much as he maybe was earlier in camp. And these are hard projections too, because a lot of it is – asking us to project what's going to happen in the next 2 to 3 days. Like, how are these guys going to fare tomorrow and how are they going to fare on Saturday? I think a lot of what they put on the field and on film against the Texans will dictate how this conversation goes. But yeah, I can't vouch for any more cornerbacks beyond Hallett.
It's such a funny comment, right? Like, what do the next 2 or 3 days matter? You've got months, but in some of these guys' cases, like 3 days is like 40% of the time they've been on the roster.
When you're all
like,
here, someone has to end up here, right? And how do you do it? You play really well for 2 days.
No, I mean, Whiteside's such an interesting story because he signed mid-camp, and I would have a really hard time to leave him off the practice squad, which is still quite an accomplishment. But, I mean, talk about making a lot of plays on the ball. He's done it a ton. He has caught a handful of interceptions. But, you know, he's been given this extended opportunity with the second team and maybe even a little sprinkling in with the first team here. Dating back to the joint practice with Miami. And I don't feel like he was able to capitalize on those opportunities in the way that the Lions were looking for. And so, you know, still stays as an odd man out. Safety, you know, like we said, we got Yacine probably there as the three now, which is weird because, you know, we thought of it as Maddox. And we went into camp with this perception based on safeties coach Jim O'Neill saying five young guys competing for one spot. Well, Dan Jackson's done. Hallett moved elsewhere. Norris is currently nursing the concussion and was, you know, probably the last man in that mix in terms of where he slotted in. So it's suddenly come down to Strickland and Ian Kennelly, which I finally know how to say correctly. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, if we had a little celebration emoji, I would pop that right now. But I've got Kennelly in, guys, and it's another one that's going to be three UDFAs we put on this roster where we're not sure we were able to get one in a month ago, but hyper athletic guy. I think there's just a ton of upside there and maybe you don't see it or see him a whole lot to start, but I think they want to keep him in the fold, develop him and see what comes of it.
Yeah. I'm with you there. I also think that if Dan Jackson hadn't been injured, we might be talking about the Lions cutting both of their seventh round picks. I don't think he was tracking toward a roster spot in his own right. It was really early, but I think he was on the wrong side at the time he was hurt. I have Kennelly on, but I feel like he needs a pretty strong showing these next two, this practice and game to solidify that. He's certainly repped a lot with the first team defense over the past couple weeks, more so in the last week, but he's also had his undrafted rookie moments where he's looked a little bit out of place, a little bit like a fish out of water. And I feel like he's lost just a little bit of momentum to where a strong showing tomorrow or a couple of big plays on Saturday would restore this coaching staff's confidence in him as a member of the 53 man.
I talked to him. Go ahead, Colton.
I was just going to say, I'm with you. I don't know if Dan Jackson would have made the roster just because he was kind of getting chewed out by Shep.
Yo, felt Shep like every was day. All practice. Over his head.
Which is maybe just good coaching, though.
Some
expectations for him. But, when I look at Kennelly, I put him in my last two roster projections. I think, kind of based on – we talked about this earlier, but based on the depth. Brian Branch kind of took a few plays off in the last scrimmage practice. Kennelly was – the first safety out there, got some opportunities with them. So they clearly are giving him some looks. And again, that matters to me. That's how I make decisions. And you'd like to see maybe make some more plays, but I think you're okay developing him behind the scenes. He's uber athletic, an RAS in like the nines, I believe. He's big. He looks apart. He had that like takedown tackle against the Chargers in the Hall of Fame game. And I think
that
caught my eye. So I think he's a physical dude. And if you can keep developing him behind the scenes, you don't need to play him because he's going to be a backup. I think you can find a way to keep him on the roster. And if they go with four, he would be my fourth.
I talked to him yesterday and, kind of in the Tesla conversation, like the local kid, he's gotten so much attention that I just,
he is?
You know,
he has?
I mean, just every single day, Utica, right? Is that right? I don't know. Somewhere north of me. Very, very first thing I made the joke, right? Like, hey, do you want to talk about being the local kid playing for his hometown team? Right. Like, yeah, I'm sick of that. But, the thing that struck me was his confidence, right? Like that more than the local angle, it's the jump from D2, to the NFL. Like that's a massive, massive jump in competition. And it's not quite what Manu's going through, but it's not an easy transition to the size, the speed, the strength, the savviness of NFL veterans that have figured out every little corner they can cut to be more efficient. And so, Kennelly admitted like, I'm still in the habit of overthinking out there occasionally. And when I overthink, I'm not reacting. I'm not playing fast. I'm a half step slow. Those are the plays that I'm screwing up, but it's fewer and fewer with the reps he's getting. And so I just think they really like the trajectory he's on. And I feel like that's confident. That's my vote of confidence for why he's in this roster. Boys, we have 53 players and we don't have to go back and do any of it. Very convenient because we are over budget here. Do they pay for this airtime? I don't know. I think for the folks, I'm going to recap this quickly. Any opposition here to hearing our final roster?
Let's do it.
Surely everyone will agree with this.
Yes. Three quarterbacks. So we already lost half the audience. So end it in. Four running backs. We got Gibbs, Montgomery, Reynolds, and Vaki. Wide receivers, six. It's the five veterans you expect. Jackson Meeks over Dominic Lovett. Ooh. In a little bit of an upset. I'm a little surprised I went that way. Will won me over with his arguments.
That's like is that like a 13-4 upset, 12-5? Like how would we categorize that in the NCAA tournament? I think 12-5.
I like the 13. Right? Yeah, I was gonna say 13-4. Yeah, okay. I think that's it.
Yeah.
We got Zylstra in as a third tight end. We got nine offensive linemen. The starters: Manu, Skipper, Coyote over Moody, and Kingsley over Michael Neese. Defensive tackle: Reader Williams, Pat O'Connor, Roy Lopez, and the rookie Keith Cooper. We got four edge rushers. We gave Nate Lynn the nod with Hassanine heading to IR. Linebackers, we got six. I think you're going to be able to predict them. Three starters: Stuart Nowoski and Zach Cunningham. Mm-hmm. Cornerbacks, and well, we should just call it the defensive backs because I don't know who's playing what at this point. Arnold Reed, Amik Robertson, Brian Branch, Kirby Joseph as your starters, and then your backups, your reserves. You got Rocky Sin, Avante Maddox, Ian Canelli, and Eric Hallett. Are we missing one? Do we have an extra roster spot? Can I not count?
Oh.
I wasn't counting myself. So if the math isn't mathing, that's on you.
That's true. I think we got an extra roster spot. What do you want to do with you? You're just going to throw Lovett back on?
Yeah, screw it. We're going seven receivers. I know I didn't want to and I wouldn't, but I'm doing it.
Who else is it?
Colton, who you got? If we do have one more, who would you keep?
Broderick Martin is back. He's back.
Jeff Ifrady. He's back. I don't know. If you want to put seven on, we can seven receivers. We can do that.
Would you make a case for Ukwu?
No, because Zadarius is coming back. No, yeah. I think you put Zadarius.
That's why we're keeping Meeks, by the way. Obviously,
we created the spot for Zadarius to come back. That's what we did.
By the way, the one thing I feel like we might have glossed over during the defensive line conversation is. We don't know their plans with Josh Pascal as to whether
we don't.
And he's going to start really the good, season on yep. pop, whether he's active on the 53 man. I lean that he'll start on pop because if they plan to start his practice window, they've said like after Labor Day, sometime early September, they don't anticipate him actually playing until 3 or 4 weeks from then. So I operated under the assumption that he was not occupying a 53-man spot, just to be clear.
Guys, we have another omission here. We're not very good at this. Wingo?
Oh, yeah. That's the other name we were forgetting. Yeah,
I put him as a lock. All right.
He's been on my roster since I started.
Yeah,
this.
He's on mine. So guess what? Nobody gets a spot. Lovett is still off. Ukwu's still off. Broderick Martin's still in the other world. That.
Seven receivers is too many.
The Josh Pascal point stands. If Josh Pascal gets back, I think it's if Pascal's back, it's probably at the expense of Keith Cooper, right?
That's what it feels like. There's just to me too much redundance.
Okay. Yeah. Well, look, we did it.
Shout out if Keith Cooper does make this roster. Shout out his high school football coach who heard when Keith Cooper was in junior high that he was gonna quit football and only play basketball, and the high school football coach at the time came with the athletic director to like a junior high gym class and told Keith Cooper that you are not giving up football because it's going to lead to great things. And Keith Cooper was like, okay, I guess I'm not giving up football. And look at him now, all these years later, going on to Tulane and then Houston, and now he has officially made the Lions via the Lions Collective. So shout out that high school football coach who saw greatness in him and refuse to let him give up on the dream.
I think now is a good time to let the folks know. Bonus episode tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Joint practices tomorrow with the Texans tomorrow morning. We decided it would be worth coming back and talking about that. I don't think we're going to go an hour, but look at us. We have no sense of time. See, I'm the host. I can't keep you guys corralled. It's not possible, but
we do need Brady back.
You can only hope
we will sustain us. Yeah, we'll lift the ban after this week just to get back under control. But we will be back tomorrow to talk about the joint practices, our observations, what we saw, what was exciting.
How many heads CJ Gardner-Johnson tries to decapitate. Right.
Colton making a stronger case for Tom Kennedy to make the roster. All that stuff. We'll be there.
When did I become